I'm very, very comfortable knowing what I did. I'm very, very comfortable knowing if I'm in that exact situation again, okay, at that same yard line, I'm going to do the same thing. You got me? If it's further back, I might do something different. I'm not going to tell you now because if we get in that situation, I'm telling everybody what I'm doing.
Got me? Got it?
Same thing. Do the same thing.
No regrets.
Zero chance I'd change those calls.
No regrets. Yeah, that's correct.
Now, does he mean regurgitations? Or what does he mean? What does he mean by that?
Well, and the conversation shifts suddenly to should they have gotten more yardage or should they have positioned the ball to where almost said a different name there, for where Eddie Pinheiro felt more comfortable. Because today, some interesting comments today.
Very.
A little from bit Matt of a, Nagy.
And from Pinheiro.
And from Pinheiro, too.
Can we play the Pinheiro? You got the Pinheiro? Can you play the Pinheiro? Adam Hoagie there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, stand by. Was there a trade yet?
No trades. No trades.
Shoot.
How about now?
let me check. Still no trades, yeah.
Okay.
It's over now, right? The trade deadline just passed?
Yeah, it passed at 3 o'clock, and I was not expecting the Bears to make any moves, especially
for... who's going to take Mitchell Trubisky? Is it the new ZFL or whatever the hell it is? What is it, the XFL?
The ZFL. That's next year. The XFL's this coming year.
XFL, right.
Yeah.
The Y, then the Z. And then they... Or maybe the CFL. Can you maybe trade him to Canada? I'll bet he'd make a good Alouette. Or a Rough Rider or whatever the hell is up there. All right, hold on. Here's Eddie Pinheiro. Listen to you.
Just the aiming points. The left hash is going to be a different kick than the right hash, and it's going to be a different kick in the middle. So
for that last one, do you want the left hash?
No, I didn't, but, it is what it is.
What would you prefer on that?
God, he just got me on that one.
Oh, he knew it. He's like, I want that one back. Give me it back.
No, don't say it. Don't say it.
I almost feel bad for him.
I do, too.
He knew. I do a little bit. I do. First of all, this conversation has to start, though, with make the kick. It's still 41 yards. You're an NFL kicker. That being said, we're also dealing with a rookie kicker who just went through his first missed game winner, and I could see how he, like he said there, you got me. He probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm also never going to crush a guy for answering a question that was asked to him point blank, honestly, which he did.
Yeah.
And I hope the coaching staff doesn't get mad at him about it for answering it the way he did, because he was just being honest. But it does bring up a very concerning point, guys. I honestly had not really – I thought about this, that maybe you would want to be in the middle. And I even said this morning on our podcast before Eddie Pinheiro talked today, by the way, because I just had to assume that the fact that they knelt right where they did at the left hash, that's where he wanted to be. Because this is coaching 101. Your special teams coordinator knows where the kicker wants to be. He talks to the kicker, and he communicates that to the head coach. And so if you're not going to run the ball, at least when Trubisky kneels there in that situation, you can take two steps to your right, then kneel down with no problem whatsoever and line up the kick in the middle of the field.
Yeah. That seems like a pretty simple solution if you're communicating.
A few commercial breaks earlier, Adam, we saw Eddie run out there, and he positioned himself right in between the hashes, and he threw the grass up. I don't know if that was just what his routine was, but he kind of gives you a clue.
I think he was testing the wind.
Did it from the center of the hash. So, I don't know. How does a head coach not ask that question right before? That's like the most obvious question a coach could possibly have. Eddie, where do you want us to put the ball? He wants to the center. Mitch, run to the center of the hash, take a knee, and we'll call a timeout.
Because a 41-yarder is not a gimme, right?
No.
You're right.
He was 3 for 5,
not a gimme.
40 to 49 going into that, right?
Yeah, which that gets into the whole thing about why, I'm with everybody who says, why won't you at least try to pick up more yards there? I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
But this revelation today, guys, out of everything we've talked about in the last 48 hours, whether or not he should have picked up more yards, whether he should have had Trubisky even throwing the ball early in the fourth quarter when he had the lead, out of all this stuff, the play calling, the formations, everything I spent the last 48 hours on, this thing was simply lining the kick up where your kicker wants the ball to be is the most basic head coaching that there is.
They do it in high school.
I know.
I've seen it in high school football games.
Okay.
Okay.
What are they doing? I'm serious. It's ridiculous. I mean, Matt Nagy is really you know, it, obviously Mitch hasn't played well. And we can go back a few years. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, and Mitch Trubisky, we talked about this when he was drafted, Matt Nagy. Those three are all connected. There's blame on all three levels. Mitch has been bad, but Matt Nagy was brought here as a young, offensive-minded coach to develop a quarterback a team took a risk on with a second overall pick.
And a scheme around his skills.
Yeah. And he has appeared to have regressed. I don't know how the hell that's possible in your third year. After last year, you saw a lot of signs that said, okay, he's obviously not going to be those other two that everybody talks about, but he looks like he can be a pretty solid quarterback in this system.
Yeah, I'm struggling to blame Nagy for Trubisky's development. I think at some point you got to just
why say though? That's his job. He was brought here to develop him.
Yeah, but if the guy was never going to be good, you know what I mean? If they just missed on the pick, then I'm not. You can't just turn any quarterback into a good quarterback. You know what I mean? I think what you can
well they missed on the pick. That's not even a debatable thing anymore.
Right, but well, and then, but that's on Ryan Pace. That's not on Matt Nagy. Nagy wasn't here when that pick was made.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Kevin nuts. I don't want to make Kevin nuts.
However, where I will go after Nagy for is, and this is what I'm on this week, it is time to change your offense. If he can't handle this offense, if he can't handle all the things that go into it, and it's a complicated system where you got to know a lot of plays, and there's a lot of reads and checks and balances within every single play, then you need to simplify it. And if that means going back to the old school I formation and running the football more, then that's what it is. And so, to me, what bothered me was in the fourth quarter, you had the lead, and you went right back to the shotgun. You didn't run anything back out of the I formation, and your quarterback turned the ball over twice.
It's embarrassing. At this point, I think he has to put the stubbornness aside and realize he has to start game planning for the offense he has, not the one he wants. There was the comments made on the broadcast. I can't even remember who was doing TV, but it was It was mentioned that Matt Nagy said, I wasn't brought here to run the I formation. Now, I don't know how that the perspective on it. And I get it, and he's right. They weren't. But at some point, you have to realize your game plan is not working, and your stubbornness is leading to more losses. You have to put that aside and start game planning differently. End of story. He said they didn't even have the I formation practice at once in camp. They had to put that in, so I do give him credit for at least doing that. But from going from an I formation and picking up big chunks of yards, and then all of a sudden throwing a five-wide set out there, On a short yardage third down or even fourth down, it was fourth and one. He had five receivers out there. What are you doing?
That was within the drive they actually did run the I formation.
Right.
He still couldn't resist on fourth and one to throw the ball.
It's unbelievable. I cannot believe what I'm watching with his play calling.
But I think that that's actually an example of where you can mix it up, and I'm fine with that. I'm not actually arguing that they should just go back to like the John Fox, Dow Loggins offense from start to finish in these games. I just think there needs to be more simplicity within the system, what your quarterback can handle, and more variation. I mean, for him to go from that great drive where, honestly, it might have been their best drive of the season. They go right down the field with 8 out of the 11 plays with a fullback on the field. Then they come back the whole fourth quarter, and there's none of that.
Okay. Listen,
before the season started as well, we were talking the run DMC thing. That also needs to be put aside. Tariq Cohen's not a running back. Just make David Montgomery your featured running back.
Yes. And Tariq Cohen, you put him in the slot. That's a guy who literally, if you look it up in a dictionary, that we don't even have dictionaries anymore, slot receiver. It's a picture of Tariq Cohen. Right? It's a little scatty guy that can get anywhere. He's got great hands. We've seen him do the thing where I'd like to just see him do that. I'd like to see him run 5 yards out and then jump and flip backwards and catch the ball. That's what I would like to see.
Oh my God.
You know, he wants Tariq Cohen to be Tyreek Hill so bad. And I actually think Tariq Cohen's a great player, and he does a lot that not everyone sees in terms of how the defenses have to adjust to him when he's on the field. And by the way, Matt Nagy has an addiction to Tariq Cohen, and that's part of the reason why he's not okay.
You just can't quit him? Is that what you're saying?
Well, kind of, because if you go into I formation with David Montgomery back there behind a fullback, Tariq Cohen's not on the field. And he's on the sideline. I think that's part of what Nagy's struggling with here. But I was watching that.
I'll do it for him. I'll do it. You know what? Let me draw some plays up. I used to just sit around in math class and draw plays up because I couldn't understand the math.
You know, last week, Adam, we introduced the Mitch Trubisky overthrow drinking game. Every time he overthrows a receiver, take a drink, you'll be drunk by half the.
Watch
I think
out.
We could also introduce the Cordarrelle Patterson jet sweep play because every time he's on the field, Matt Nagy calls the same exact play, a jet sweep to Cordarrelle Patterson. It's just everything we've seen from – the play calling. It's just so obvious.
It's predictable, yes. Yeah. And why you wouldn't put you put Montgomery, you put Tariq Cohen in the slot, and you have Montgomery in the backfield, play action, right, or RPO or whatever the hell they want to call it now. And the next thing you know, you got Tariq Cohen one on one or wide open. I'm sorry, my friends, this sucks. And what sucks most about it is now all of a sudden you got Nagy trying to be a badass. Let me explain something to you, pal. I don't care what I know there's people who want to be a badass in the press, it's fake news and blah, 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 whatever you want to do. That's not going to work. This is sports. Sports fans know what they want. They want winning. This is not binary. No one's going to stand behind a loser and go, well, you know what? I'm going to stand behind this loser because, damn it, I'm going to get a hat. No! That's not what happens. This guy, and don't be a tough guy with the press here, because it's the sports press. At the end of the day, we don't need any of this. And they're just trying to sell tickets. That's it. They're trying to sell tickets. That's it. And get TV ratings. And I'm going to tell you something right now about TV ratings. I'm going to tell you right now. This Philadelphia game is not going to get gigantic ratings. Not going to get the kind of ratings that they've had, especially, and you know how it's all done, right? Because it's not where the audience is when it starts, but if they start getting their clocks cleaned, which, by the way, that's a set of emojis now. I just want to point that out.
Watch out.
If they start getting their clocks cleaned here, people are going to tune away. I'm going to tune away. I walked away. You know, the thing is, I walked away after with 3 minutes left in the game. I left my little cave, and I went up to my office, and I started working on something, and I had it on in the background. And then all of a sudden, then Pinheiro came out, and then they did the thing where they just took a knee. And then
they did.
And then I started walking in a circle. I got up off my desk, and I'm just walking, and I got a little room there. I'm walking in a circle, and I'm like, I cannot believe what I'm seeing here. And if he does make this, they don't deserve to win this game because they played like dog excrement.
I'm going to do the same thing. You got me?
That wasn't great to hear. Remember when we thought they were just stale because they had missed the preseason, or that they were tired because they got on the plane late to London? It's just high hopes.
It just looks like they're just high bad. Hopes.
You know what's weird, guys, though? And I'm sure I'll be on with you before this week's over, so I won't finalize this till later in the week.
Oh, no.
I'm kind of thinking they're going to beat the Eagles.
Oh.
I wouldn't be that surprised.
You know what I thought for sure they were going to... I thought for sure they were going to be 4-3 by this week, and we're going to be talking about it like, hey, we're back on the playoff track, right?
They would have lost to the Eagles for sure.
Just broken your heart once again.
So they'll be 4-4. Right,
and
at that point, still three games behind and leaping over two teams in the NFC North, and then you got a bunch of teams. I mean, you have to beat NFC opponents right now. You got to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, look. I mean, the last two games have been a must win, but that's why that Saints game 2 weeks ago was so important too.
Yeah.
This one,
they're missing the playoffs. There's no way. I'm going to say it. And you could play this for me right after they win the Super Bowl in February. You could play it back and tell me I'm wrong. I'll be happy about it. But there is not a chance they're going to make the playoffs this year. Not a chance. There are too many teams in the NFC that are better than them that are going to get the three wild card positions. Yeah.
The math is completely against them. I believe Football Outsiders has them with a 4.5% chance of making the
postseason. That's about right. Yeah, I'm going to go with a negative 4.5. So not even 0% chance. There's a chance that there's a 4% chance they'll be thrown out of the NFL before the season is over. They may have to join the CFL.
There's a 100% chance that my 13-3 prediction was wrong.
That is correct. That is a 100% chance. I said they're either going 11-5 or 8-8. And an 8-8 was... Oh, all right. No. And you know what? I want to see this Nagy. I want him in my office tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Well, I think he's probably going to be busy, because have the coaches spoken out about the kicker comment yet? I didn't see anything.
Nagy doesn't talk on Tuesdays. It's just an open locker room today. So tomorrow will be the first time we'll have access to Nagy since Pinheiro said this. And I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know how he can explain this.
Yeah.
Grill him, Adam.
All right.
There really is no explanation for it.
Would you just send him an email and tell him I want him in my office at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning? Let him know. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Adam Hoge, Bears in center. Hawks need to win tonight, too. I don't know where to turn for relief. I watched that Bulls game last night.
Yikes.
Talk about poop on a shingle.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I knew they were up at one point by 8 or 9,
they were
right?
Up by 15 at one point.
Right. In the third.
And then they were up by 8 with 3:33 to go, and the Knicks went on a 15-0 run to end the game. Are you kidding me?
Right. I mean, there was a moment where you were watching them, and you're like, hey, wait, I kept looking at the score going, this can't be right.
That's kind of fun.
This is, what, they're beating the Knicks? Like, and the Knicks are not exactly world beaters,
right? No, that was
right?
The first win. They're going to be bad, too.
Yeah. I mean, but I like them beating the Knicks because that's a fun rivalry. Mm-hmm. But, oh, my God, they suck. All right. Hold on. I got to go. Lauren, what's happening on the roadways?